As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily, the challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshay, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
Just a Thought by James T. Deshay. There is never a perfect time to step out on faith. It would always require risking the safety of where you are at that very moment. But one will never be completely happy when their dreams are not being reached. The higher the dreams, the greater the risk. When the right opportunity makes itself available, you have to close your ears to the naysayers and move forward beyond your dreams. Visit wealthdaddysystem.com. That's www.wealthdaddysystem.com. WealthDaddySystem.com. WealthDaddySystem.com. Push yourself beyond your fears, and you'll reach your dreams. Quantity of life and increase your cash flow each month, dial 407-459-4827. Again, if you're ready to increase your cash flow every month, dial 407-459-4827. I can guarantee you this call will change your life. This is James T. DeShay, the host of Thought, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know that I am happy to be here and to be given the opportunity to talk to you about the things that are impacting our lives now and in the future. It's so important for us to stay on top of the things that are going on in our country and make sure that we are abreast of what needs to happen in order for to make sure that our country is going in the right direction. The today's subject that I want to talk to you about, I don't think we've ever discussed before, but it is prudent because our young people are getting ready to go back to school. And there are a lot of teachers across the nation who are very unhappy about their contracts and don't understand fully why they don't get the attention that they think they deserve related to their pay, related to the money spent on the in the classroom, and we're having people who are extremely unhappy. Now, I taught school for 30-plus years, about 30 and a half years, and I can tell you there were a lot of times, again, when I had to work extra jobs because I just didn't feel comfortable with what I was being paid. And so to offset the money I was being paid, I went and worked a second job. But there are a lot of teachers who don't feel like they should be working second jobs and that they should be making a lot more money than what they're presently getting. I think the starting pay in the state of Florida is somewhere around $38,000 a year for a first-year teacher. And it runs up as high as senior teachers getting as much as $65,000. And so that's about the pay rate here in Florida. Now, I also know that the pay rate here in Florida is a lot less than a lot of major cities across the country. And I just want to ask today if we believe that teachers should have the right to go on strike, or should they be denied the right to go on strike because of how important their jobs are to the lives of young people? I can tell you in the state of Florida that we are a right-to-work state, and that going on strike will not guarantee your job, that you can be easily replaced while you're on strike. So I don't know if it is, but there are cities or states across the country where it's illegal for teachers to go on strike. And presently, it looks like the teachers in Ohio may be going on strike, and the teachers in Chicago just came to an agreement, but were threatening to go on strike. But we have to recognize and understand that we are asking these people to take care of our most precious resource. And we're asking them to do more than an eight-hour job. If you only do what is required of you, you will not be prepared for your students every day, because there's not enough time given to check papers, to get prepared for the next day's assignments. You have to work after your eight-hour shift or seven-and-a-half-hour shift in order to actually give those students the kind of commitment they deserve. But yet you're only paid a salary for the seven-and-a-half hours that you, because you only get a 30-minute lunch. So we want to talk today about what we are asking of our teachers and whether or not we as taxpayers are giving them as much as they should be getting related to the job they're performing. You know, we have to be honest about what we're asking these people to do, and especially with the amount of pressure that's being put on them to educate our kids nowadays. They're being put under a lot of pressure and a lot of scrutiny to make sure that they're doing what is required in order for these students to perform well on the next level. So we have to ask ourselves, should these teachers be allowed to strike in order to demand higher wages? Should there be laws that require them to go to work regardless of what their contracts are at the time? So that's the basis of our conversation today. Dee, what is your thought related to whether or not teachers should have the right to strike and whether or not we should be looking to pay them more? Again, a college graduate are being put in charge of our most precious treasures, and there in a lot of places these people are making less than $40,000 a year. What are your thoughts?
Good evening, everybody, and thank you, James, for joining the show. I've always thought that teachers were grossly underpaid, especially in modern times. It's almost like the they're putting their life on the line in some parts of the country just to go to work. And so having said that, yes, I think they are grossly underpaid. I think that if they were to go on strike, in reference to the points I just made, the government might even get involved and demand that they go to work. I remember they did that to the nation's airline pilots that went on strike one time, and the government felt that they had to get involved to order them back to work. So I can see if that was a nationwide protest in that way, there would be some governmental involvement. But yes, the answer to your question, yes, sir, I do think that they are underpaid, and that if they were to go on strike, that their job should not be in jeopardy. Thanks.
One of the things that people need to be aware of when you're talking about a person going to college and getting out of college with a lot of debt, and then they get a job that only pays them, up to $30,000, a little over $30,000, that they're going to find themselves not being able to have a quality of life that may resemble a professional. In a lot of instances, you have college students leaving college now and getting jobs that are paying them as much as $50,000 or more starting out, but yet your teachers are making maybe $20,000 to $30,000 less than those individuals. So what are we saying about this profession? When we say we want the brightest and the best, how do we get the brightest and the best if we're not willing to pay them a decent rate? Andre, what are your thoughts in terms of what should be expected of teachers? Should they be allowed to strike? And whether or not they have a good reason to strike based on what seems to be a lack of commitment in terms of people putting money into education?
Well, an amazing August 1st to everyone. And let me start with the component that you asked earlier of if indeed they are, if teachers are paid enough. And I would say definitely not. We as a society, we put money, or at least we invest our money, what we feel and view as important to us. And I agree with you, teachers are investing in our precious future, absolutely. But yet we are not compensating them at the same ratio. You know, so many athletes are making so much more money than our teachers, and yet we expect our teachers to actually train and equip our students, our young people, to be, you know, prepared for the future. So my answer is definitely they need to be paid more. Now, as it relates to the option of having to go on strike or not, I think that is part of the contract. When you go on, it's with any position that you have. You have rules and regulations, and if your state or if your contract would allow you to go on strike, and if that's the means in which you can articulate or request for changes, then I think yes. I think you would probably say, well, you shouldn't be allowed to go on strike because it is so important that we continue the education and have that that training program or outline to continue to succeed. So to that very point, that's exactly the reason why the teachers are saying it's so important of what they do that they should be compensated. So I say, yeah, they have a right to go on strike. Now, you're right, in the state of Florida, it is a right-to-work state. So, again, if you do decide to go on strike, you have to make sure that you're in a position of knowing that you may not necessarily be rehired.
And another one of the games, for those of you just so to carry on our conversation, another one of the games that the educational system plays is that in the state of Florida,
they pay you for every year, they pay you an additional income for every year you work. So there are steps as you go up, as you complete each year. The problem is, though, that when you get to your 20th year, you have no more steps. So a teacher who will reach their maximum amount of pay and will not be compensated unless the contract is changed from year 20 to year 30. And so there are no more steps once you make your reach your maximum, and only if the contract is altered or changed will you get an increase. So the last 10 years,
that's not in
it's possible for the last 10 years of your employment to be stuck at the same pay rate. And
but that's not
that
an incentive.
Is in most cases is, in most cases is saying, hey, we know we got you. You ain't got nowhere else to go. You've been working here 20 years. Where else can you go? So we can do it like this in order to, because we think you're stuck.
Well, that's one way to look at it, James, but the other way is that's not an incentive. You're looking at your most experienced, knowledgeable instructors not being compensated, you know, for 10 years on average. I don't know if that person would stay there. You know, what would be the incentive to stay? I mean, you're maxed out at 20. So, I mean, at 20 years, I'm thinking they may start looking at something different.
Well,
and not complete their last 10 years.
Yeah, the system believes that you don't have any other options after you've given them 20. And that's what the problem is, and that's how they manned it out, is that after you've worked with them for 20 years, you very well may not have any other options but to stay. And so I think that's what's strategically done. Tyrone, what are your thoughts about the situation where teachers feel across the nation that they're being underpaid and underappreciated?
Well, good evening, everyone. We know that they are grossly underpaid. I think teachers, you know, teacher salaries should be up there with doctors, because doctors and lawyers, because they're the ones who prepare us. You know, most teachers run across their loving and compassionate and very caring. They're the ones who took their time. And so they should. I always believe that their income should be up there with, you know, a doctor, a lawyer. I mean, highly paid. I have a lot of educators as clients, and one of the problems that they have, many of them have financial problems because trying to live on a small income, they just can't. They can't, and they're not getting the necessary things that they need in the classroom, so they're spending their personal monies. And so, yeah, I really believe, and the reason why they strike, go on strike during this time is because they're going to get the world's attention, or the United States, the people's attention, because, you know, everybody wants their children educated. So if they strike at this time, just when the students are going back to school, they're going to get that attention. I often think about who made that decision about their salary, because teachers have always been underpaid, I mean, for a long time. So who actually made that decision about their income? But when an educator is not being properly paid, how can he or she do their best work in the classroom when they're worrying about finances, they're dealing with disciplinarians, dealing with disrespectful kids? Yeah, I think they need to get all they can get. And like you were saying, that once you get them about 20 years, once they have about 20 years, well, with 20 years, their retirement income is no more than about 40%. Now, here's another thing. If you look at that profession of education, teachers have a tendency of having longevity. They don't switch around from school to school or from profession to profession. They normally stay in that 30 to 40 years. So, yeah, I'm all for them. Get as much as they can get. And the thing about the state they can pay them. If we look and see what they pay other people, they can actually pay them what they need to keep, you know, keep ends met or just keep up with with inflation and you know, have to the point where they can save money and invest money and take care of their family properly. So, yeah, again, I say, yes, I believe that. I believe they should make all the money they can make.
And in a lot of times, the last thing you should want is your teachers being in a position where they have to work a second job. Then they're tired when they come to work. They're not able to give the students their best because you're not providing them with enough income to have a decent standard of living. So then they have to work a second job, which takes away from the first job, which is the most important. Kathy, what are your thoughts about the state of the teachers' income and their importance? Do you feel like they should have the right to strike, or should they be by law commanded to go to work?
Good afternoon, everyone. And James, once you become president, I know that you're going to make a change in their annual income so that they won't be receiving a small amount that they are being paid right now. But absolutely, yes, I do believe that they should be able to strike. I mean, if they fire you, there are other school jobs out there. These teachers today are going through so much. It's triple what it was when we were growing up, and they have to endure all this. Not only do they have to endure their low pay grade, but they have to endure the students, they have to endure the students' parents, and they have to endure, you know, trying to keep their composure while they're in school from the things that are being said to them and the things that are being done to them. So, yes, I rally behind them 100% that they should go on strike because everybody else is striking, protesting because of things. So why can't they go on strike for the things that they need and want in order to be able to stay in those classrooms with their kids? That's an extra special job. Everybody can't do that. You have to be an extra special person in order to go in there and deal with those kids.
And I'm telling you guys, you have not, when you think about kids believe that they have the right to say and do almost anything, and as a teacher, you better not touch me, you better not say anything to me, you can't put your hands on me, and they go into those classrooms really defiant because they believe teachers have no right. And so just imagine you got 30 students in your classroom, and every one of them believe that you don't have the right to put your hands on them. You don't have the right to say anything to them that is inappropriate. And they have gotten to the point where they think it's okay for them to say anything they want to you. And so it is a experience to be in a classroom setting where you have young people who are extremely defiant. Cheryl, what are your thoughts about teachers and their income and the environment they find themselves working in right now?
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to have to agree with all of the other callers because I do believe and have always believed that teachers are way underpaid. You know, we pay more for entertainment. Basketball players, football players, athletes, they make more money than teachers do. And these are the ones that are children, teaching them, educating them. And I don't understand where the lowball in pay comes from. And I do believe, you know, that they should be able to strike and to be able to have their demands met. And, you know, I know a lot of teachers that, just like some of the other callers mentioned, they spend their own money to do the things to make their classroom look nice, you know, to provide material for the students, and it should not be that way. If we can pay athletes as much as we pay them, we should definitely be able to pay the teachers who's educating our children just as much.
You know, it is just amazing to me. We always saying we want the best and the brightest to be teaching our children, but you can't get the best and the brightest when you are underpaying them to the degree that we are. And a lot of times our legislators are the ones who are setting these salaries, and they are feeling as though they don't have to be beholden to teachers and that they can just not give, you know, schools the amount of money they need in order to function. And a lot of times you all won't believe it. I can tell you in a classroom that I've been in classes where they didn't even have enough books. And I mean, I'm not talking about in the 60s and the 70s. I started teaching in the 80s, and there were a lot of times when we didn't have enough books for our students, and they were students who in some instances were sitting on the floor because they didn't have enough desks and chairs. There are a lot of things going on in these classrooms that sometimes parents are not aware of. I even remember here in Florida last year, parents became up in arms because their children weren't given an opportunity to go outside for recess. And the pressure was on to take, you know, to take advantage of every minute of educational time that they could. So they took away recess. Now, can you imagine having young kids in your classroom who've been stuck in class all day and not have a chance to run off some of that energy or go outside and just get in some fresh air and get a break? And see, these are the kind of stringent things that are being done to these teachers, and they don't get a choice in the matter. And so they're put under a lot of pressure for these kids' grades and scores to be to a certain level. And these kids are becoming frustrated in these classrooms because they cannot adapt to the rules that are being, the things that are being asked of them. And the teachers are the last one with any kind of power to say anything about it. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and continue our conversation related to the educational environment and what it is that teachers now find themselves going through.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. DeShay is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, love, and reflections, and passion, desire, and contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. DeShay has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. DeShay. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshay2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
Just a Thought by James T. DeShay. The destination of one's life is not determined by where they are, but by where their heart is determined to go. It is important to look past the present and dream about your future. The value of your internal spirit remains the same throughout your life. Once you take your first breath, the measure of your future is unlimited. You only need to take one positive step after the other to get out of your present situation. Always know that there is a helping hand prepared to assist you along the way. Keep your head and your eyes facing forward to see the hearts of those ahead of you. The path they suggest will always be better than the issues that are behind you. The Creator that protects us all will never move from where you last left him. He is patiently waiting for your return. God invested in you from the outset, and now it is time for your value to rise. Don't doubt that which has been there from the beginning, your ability to turn your dreams into reality. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, the radio show where your voice needs to be heard. The show is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Call in at 657-383-0309. Please visit my website, JamesTDeshay2.com. That's JamesTDeshay2.com. Also consider purchasing both my books, Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, Passion, Desire, and Contemplation. They can be purchased at my website or at lulu.com. That's lulu.com. I look forward to you being a part of my audience. Call in every day at 657-383-0309.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection.
You know, guys, another thing I need to bring to your attention, and this happened maybe 3 or 4 years ago in the state of Florida, but they took away tenure for new teachers. The teachers who had already gotten their tenure and were the older teachers and they were getting ready to retire, they were able to hold on to their tenure, but the new teachers would never get tenure. And what tenure is that after 3 or 4 years, a principal could extend a teacher, give a teacher tenure because of their first 3 years of their performance. And it would at least guarantee that teacher that they would have to be some form of administrative board to determine whether or not that teacher would be fired or not. Well, when the state decided to take away tenure for all other teachers, that meant all the new teachers who came in would be at the whim of their principal. So you have to understand that the teaching environment is a very tenuous environment because principals get moved all the time. You may be the best thing since iced tea to one principal, and you might be a nail or a tack in his foot to another. So to allow principals at their whim to release teachers seemingly is a very unfair thing, and then that means that teacher doesn't have any reassurance that they will be given a job for the following year. And then you have a situation where teachers don't all teach the same students. So you may have a teacher who's teaching the lower level students who is struggling to get those students' scores up, and she's being her evaluation is being based on those students' performance. And then you have another teacher who's teaching nothing but the high-level students who come in highly motivated, and they don't have any problems with helping them raise their scores because they come in every day, keep their mouth closed, and they're listening. See, we cannot overlook the fact that some teachers have a tougher road in order to get success than others. And so, you know, when you try to evaluate everybody on the same level, it doesn't work because some teachers have roses and some teachers got thorns. And so we need to be clearly understanding that all teachers don't come into the classroom with the same type of students. Tyrone, what do you think about what I just said, how sometimes you can't evaluate teachers the same when they have different levels of students?
It's just not fair. It's really not fair. And, you know, listening at you, I see there's a lot of problems in the school system. I used to go to school systems and work with the principals and the teachers as it relates to their retirement planning. But there are a lot of problems in the school system. And it's just not fair. You know, you're not properly being judged. And also, they've gotten to the point now there's so much pressure about these standard tests that I understand the teachers now have resorted to teaching the standard test, how to take the test. In other words, that's most of their time because they're judged based upon their performance. And so that's really not fair. So there are a lot of injustice going on, and they're going to have to make some changes. I know they used to have a shortage of teachers, but they're going to start having some serious shortages if they don't make some serious changes.
And just like you said, in some instances, teachers' salaries are being determined by the level that some of these students reach on these tests. So you're saying, listen, I don't go home with these kids. I don't make sure that they're properly fed. I don't make sure they're getting the proper amount of rest. There's a lot more into educating a child than just him sitting in the classroom. Their home environment has a lot to do with how these kids are coming to class and prepared or not. And in a lot of instances, those things are outside the teacher's ability to do anything about. Kathy, what is your thought in terms of teachers' salaries being determined based on kids' performances?
Well, if that's the case, then we are actually going to see the teachers get a raise because, as we all know and have seen and heard, every year, two and three times a year, where these teachers have to restrain these students, stop fights, do whatever they need to do to get the attention of the kids. Now, I taught a vacation Bible study for 7 days, and in those 7 days, I had a hard time with some of the kids that are supposed to know the Lord. So imagine being in a classroom. I'm not a teacher, but imagine being in a classroom with half of the class being defiant or, you know, one bully in the class erupting everybody else. So if the teachers are going to be getting paid for that, then kudos for that. I believe this is a good thing then.
Well, I tell you what, you're right. In some instances, depending on where a school is, a teacher could find themselves in a war zone, and whether or not they're able to impact those students' lives based on test scores it remains to be seen. Cheryl, what are your thoughts about teachers having to their salaries being determined by how good the scores these kids are making in class?
I think that's ridiculous. For the simple reason, the tests are not even designed for the students to pass. And I know a while back we had an incident where the teachers were giving the answers to the students so that the scores would be up because they were afraid of their salary, you know, their salaries that they were facing. So I just think that is unfair to the teachers. And it's not even based upon their performance and job that they are doing. Yet again, the tests are not even designed for our children to pass.
Yeah, you know, it's just amazing. And there's something called too much pressure. And, you know, when I was in school, the only major test that we took for the most part was the ACT and the ACT, and there was another one. I don't know. The ACT, maybe the ACT and the SAT. That's what it was, ACT and the SAT. And so a lot of times now these students are faced with three and four different tests, and some of them are required to pass the test in order to graduate. And so, you know, a lot of times you're putting these kids under a lot of pressure to retain information that they learned at the beginning of the year, and you're not giving them the test till almost the end of the year, when the teacher is giving tests in between, where she is determined than how much they learned or what they learned throughout the school year and not waiting at a specific time. And so a lot of times these like you said, Cheryl, these tests are being found to be deficient and biased. And a lot of times they're considered biased. Tyrone, have you heard when some people who are giving these tests or creating these tests have determined that the tests were biased?
Oh, yes, most definitely. You know, if you compare a Caucasian family to an African American family, it's just a big difference. It's like leaving Atlanta and taking a bus as compared to a flight to Atlanta. I mean, from Atlanta to Florida. It's a major difference. And here's what happens. The test is based upon Caucasians, the white folks, on the way they live, on the way they do things, what they talk about, what they experience. Many times they travel. They go around the United States traveling. And in the African-American community, many times the students don't travel. They don't get a chance. They're not exposed. But you give an exam based upon, a Caucasian family. It's not fair because our lifestyles are totally different, but yet you want to give me a test based upon another family, another generation, whatever. That's just not fair. And, we have a lot of problems that we got to change that. We have to change that because how can you expect me to know anything about something I have not been exposed to?
And in a lot of instances, kids aren't. You're right. Kids just by the environment they live in. I can remember one study that was done, and the kids were asked, you have a coffee cup to. Whether you put the coffee cup on a table or on a saucer. And, of course, those kids who are used to having china knew about the saucer and putting the cup on the saucer. But then you had kids who didn't know anything about those things. Their parents didn't have any china. And so you put the coffee cup on the table. And so,
absolutely.
When kids aren't exposed to certain things, they may see the world differently. That doesn't mean they lack any kind of intelligence, but a lot of times these people are just not willing to recognize and see the differences that these kids are going through. And so,
what if we can give an examination or an exam or a test or whatever based upon African-American way of life and give it to Caucasians or white folks? Do you think they will pass that exam? Do you think they will do well? There's no way. So it's really unfair. It's almost like being dishonest. But we've had to endure
right.
so much over the years. It's by, like you said, it's biased.
All right, we're going to take another break and we're going to come back and continue our conversation.
My heart is filled with joy that can't be described. Your presence has driven my passion to a place I am unable to return. Now my life is filled with the happiness of our days to come. I now seek to recreate the love you have given me so that you will know the unlimited source of joy you have provided in my spirit. My days and nights will be spent trying to insert the same love into your heart. No longer will my days be used to capture that which I already have in you. My life now is focused on showing my gratitude to those who helped to create your wonderful spirit for me. I am the true recipient of the magic within you. The harmony that exists in us will be an example for others to emulate. the enchantment that is in us will be displayed in every step we take. Our journey will be one of pure and perfect love. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. My show is on from Sunday to Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, on Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and 5 o'clock West Coast Time. It is time for your voice to be heard loud and clear. So please call in at 657-383-0309. It is time to be part of a movement that is using the technology we have to let our voices be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. On my show, your voice will be heard, respected, and appreciated. It is time for us now to take control. Please visit my website, jamestdeshay.com. That is jamestdeshay.com. I look forward to you calling into my show at 657-383-0309 at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday through Friday, and 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays. Take care.
I am this woman. I am this woman that has set the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my Creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my Creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth,
igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
If you wish to increase your standard of living, as well as increase your monthly cash flow, please call 407-459-4827. You'll be given the opportunity to change your life altogether. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. We're continuing to talk about the plight of instructors and where we think they're going to be going in the future. Cheryl, Tyrone spoke about it briefly, but if we don't do something to enhance the teachers' situation, we may find that we have a shortage of teachers across the country because our kids are not going to want to go to college to teach in the environment that they came from when they were in high school. When they look back at their high school years and see what those teachers are going through, what makes us think that these kids are going to want to go to school and to teach and to be underpaid and abused by parents, students, and principals?
You know, with the way things are going right now, a job as a teacher is not very attractive, not only because of the pay situation, but we have the respect as far as for the teachers as well. I can remember volunteering with my son, you know, and I walked up to the principal's office and I heard argument in the office, and it was loud enough that I was in the secretary's office. And come to find out, it was the child that was had the loudest voice at the parents. And then the child with the loud voice at the teacher. You know, so not only the conditions all the way around, and, you know, we have laws set up where they protected our children in the school and in the homes where, you know, we can't do what we used to do to discipline them. And we can't, you know, raise our voice that we need to get them to do things. And no, we shouldn't have to, but just because of the all-around conditions, it's not making our young adults, they're not attractive to it. You know, when they think about what all that they have to go through just to be a teacher, and then to top all of that off, the salary, you know, they think about that, it's not even worth it. So we're going to be losing a lot of individuals that may have even considered being teachers that no longer want to be teachers because of the conditions based upon the pay.
And you're so right, because I have to be honest with you. I would not tell a student to go through 4 years of hard work to come out to be a teacher. I'm sorry. My mother was a teacher, and it appealed to me, but it was a second choice. It wasn't my first choice, but it was a fallback choice for me, and it served me well. But I have to be honest, I wouldn't tell a student to go through 4 years of hard work and come out to be a teacher. Tyrone?
But, you know, somebody said all these problems, most of these problems started when they took prayer out of schools. And I have to agree with them. You know, when you take God out of the picture, you have nothing but chaos. Here's another thing. If my children were in school today, I would be homeschooling them or have somebody homeschooling. I would not have my children in that kind of negative environment. Our children today also, you listen to children read. You look at the way they write. They're arithmetic. They can't count. It's sad. It's really, really sad. And there's so much chaos going on, I guess the teachers can't teach because they're spending all their time trying to keep the chaos and confusion down in the classroom. And, you know, years ago, the way we would do it, you had to do your homework. If you didn't do your homework, you were in serious trouble. And parents took a lot of time with the children.
not only parents, but the siblings, the brothers and sisters, helped to make certain that homework was done. I know my father was a stickler for education. I recall in my senior year, we had about 3 days left in school, and I took off. I had a stepmother, but I just took off. I didn't go to school that day. Boy, that evening my daddy came in. We had about 2 or 3 days left. My daddy came in, and he just got all over me because he was a stickler for education. He was very serious, and I don't know what the answer, but we have to get real serious about our education because our education is our future. As a person without education, they're going to be in a whole lot of trouble unless they find something that they can make some serious money with right after they come out of high school. But we, like I say about many things, we have some serious problems. And once you take God out, you have everything become chaotic. And so perhaps we could petition to get that back into the school system, because I know if we put prayer, put God back in the system, we can that would change everything, because everything will come under control. And it may take a while, but it's eventually going to come under control.
Well, I can tell you that I believe that there's a lot of tightening up that needs to be done. I think that, believe it or not, I believe that students should be wearing uniforms. There is so much despicable dressing in schools that you won't believe it. I mean, these kids come dressed all kind of different ways. I remember one time when I had to ask a female teacher across the hall to talk to one of my girl students, because she came every day and her cleavage would be all out. She'd be wearing these short dresses, and she wanted to sit in the front of the classroom. And it was just inappropriate. I don't know where her parents were, but it is, so I believe that the students should have, they maybe need to go to uniforms in order to create a better environment. And teachers need to, there's some times where students, in Florida, you can only suspend a kid for 10 days. And if they do anything that is, they need to be suspended for more than 10 days, then it has to go before the school board. Well, the deal is that, these kids are aware of that. And sometimes they are doing a lot of things to disrupt classrooms. They're doing all kind of behaviors that need to be put in check. And it is just beyond the teacher's ability to deal with it. And then now some people want teachers to have guns in the classroom. And that's just crazy.
Yeah.
I would never want the responsibility of having a gun in my classroom. Have some student gain possession of the gun, and then what are you going to have?
Right.
Some of these people are coming up with some crazy ideas related to how they're going to deal with these situations in schools.
Yeah. Because we've left our basics, the Word of God. We've left that. And so when you do that, it's chaotic. It's out of control. And what I see is I see it getting worse as opposed to getting better. And that's unfortunate to look at it that way. But it's like I said, I used to work with the teachers and principal as it relates to retirement plan, and I got to the point where because of the disrespect, I just couldn't deal with it. I couldn't deal with that, the disrespect. And these students have no respect for anyone, and it's really, really bad. And poor teachers, they don't know what to do. They're beat up in every different areas. As we was talking about, you're dealing with the principal of the school board, you're dealing with the parents, and now you're dealing with a student who's going to stand before you and disrespect you and look like he's going to he or she going to put their hands on you, and some of them will. I went over to a school. This was in New Orleans a long time ago, and it was alternative school. Man, it was like a jailhouse. One time I was there, they took over the principal's office, ran the principal out the office and everybody else in the office, and was speaking on the PA system. It's just pathetic. It's pathetic. It's just like, first of all, you're underpaid, you're overworked. What is there? And I know you have a love for the students, you want to make a difference,
But how can you make a difference in somebody's life if they're actually a wild animal? And these teachers,
Kathy,
these teachers are afraid.
Yeah, Kathy, I think you were the one that talked about the prayer had been taken out of school, and that somehow or another. But how do we get back to that point, Kathy?
One day at a time. If we all come together and just begin, as we're talking about it, you know, like today, when you go into your prayer time, just add that to your prayers, you know. Cover the kids as they're going to school. Give them a sound mind. We come against the enemy as he tries to come against the kids. I mean, just begin to speak positive words over those kids. And I know I have a lot of teacher friends. They go to their classroom before class even starts and pray in the room and anoint the chairs and the table. So, you know, you have to have a mindset to want to have a change inside of your classroom. And there are some kids that even pull students to the side and have a prayer time, even though it's banned at school. There are some kids that are actually, you know, calling the kids to come into prayer for their school. So it's just like an elephant in the room. How do you eat it? One bite at a time. So if enough people begin to talk about, hey, this is becoming a bigger problem than what the government and the teachers board can handle, then the parents that need to get involved and begin to pray and intercede for these kids. You know, that's, I believe, the key to every problem, not only that problem, but every other problem, which is prayer.
Yeah, we seem to have lost sight that our Bible talks about kindness and getting along and that kind of thing. There's a lot of positive things that are taught when we look at life biblically, and that would dispel some of the hatred that seems to be running around in our students and the kind of things that they'll do to each other. You know, you have, like, kind of what I was talking about, you know, in some instances, you have to fear for your daughters because there's these people out there raping children and that kind of thing and being in these in negative environments. Cheryl, what are your thoughts related to prayer going back into school?
Well, you know, definitely I'm all for it because I know that from the Word. And with the children not being taught it in the school, you know, it was a lot of sometimes the household didn't learn within the households. So, but if they were able to at least get it in the school, it would have stuck with them, you know, throughout their education. And it's something that they could have carried on and even brought within the household. And shared it with the members in the household that weren't in school and weren't, you know, involved in any kind of prayer life. I know and I believe that prayer works. And I don't know what has to be done to get it back in the school, but I think that it should be definitely back in the school because it makes a difference. It makes a difference.
You know, and that's part of what, when I talk about humanity being taught in schools, you need to teach kids that, you know, somehow or another they have gotten involved in so much violence that violence seems to be the first thing they go toward. You know, and then when you can't have teachers afraid of students and afraid to go into the classroom and expect something positive to come out of it if they are in fear for their lives. I remember a situation where a young student, I can't remember what I said to the student, but he called me a nigger. And when I wrote him up and sent him to the office, he went and told him he called me a gringo. Now, why would you call a black man a gringo? You know, but they fell for it. Gave him 2 days of in-school suspension, and by the end of the first day, he was back in my classroom. So that really makes you feel like, as a teacher, no matter what I say or do now, but had he called one of those principals out of their name, then they would have done something. But because it was me, you know, and they felt as though, oh, it ain't no big deal, you know, so what, he called a black man a nigga, just go on back to class. Now, you know, Tyrone, what I wanted to do to him, right?
See. Yes, yeah.
You know, I wanted to really show him.
Yeah, we got some serious issues. And, you know, another thing, our children are dealing with so much. They're dealing with not enough money in the household. The parents, not enough fathers in the household. They're dealing with molestation. You know, the kids they're dealing with, you know, some of them on medicine. I was in one classroom, and I had an art teacher, well, a bunch of teachers at Booker T. Washington Arts and Magnet School in Dallas, Texas, and one of my educators was telling me that sometimes they stay late at night. They may stay at school until 8 o'clock to get. The school about 8:30, whatever, I don't remember what time, it was kind of late. And she said, she was coming down the steps and saw two girls having sex. So students are having sex in school. It's just awful, the kinds of things that's occurring. And really, our children are acting out. That's what it is. They're just really acting out because these kids, they're exposed to so much. They're exposed to drugs. Kids just doing anything and everything. And I don't know for the life of me how a teacher can deal with all that. You know, how can you be – I can remember when I was in school, man, you know, the teacher could look at you hard and scare you. And if she didn't scare you, there was a man, there was a coach or something was going to bust you behind. And you didn't want coach to deal with you. But we don't have we've gotten so far away from that, coach would make you cry in front of other guys or ladies, and so we've gotten so far from that our children, you know, as one person said, you know, we need to pray for our children, and I do. But you know, we need to make it everyday prayer to cover our children with the blood of Jesus.
All right, we're going to take our final break, and we're going to come back and allow you all to have your final word for this evening.
So, what do you want to do? I'm here, baby. I'm ready, baby. Practice what you preach.
just you and me. So many things I can do to you, and so many ways I can please. Hey, 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 it's your move, yeah. Why don't you start turning down the light and show me just what you can do? Hey, baby, I've had my share of lovers, some of them were damn good. But if you think you can turn me out, girl, I just wish that you would, cause you keep, oh, you just keep, no, you just keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once I'm with you, I'll never go back. Say there's a lesson you wanna teach. Here I am, baby, practice what you preach. Is it?
What is your final thought for the day?
Okay, so I'm going to scripture, and it's train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart. That's my final thought.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that when we talk about training children, we need to let children know that the fight they want to battle in the classroom is not theirs. And if they feel like they're being mistreated, they need to go to an administrator, or they need to go to their parents and let them their parents deal with it. When children are in the classroom trying to deal with adults, they are creating an environment where nobody wins, and it is just outrageous. I really believe they need to start putting video cameras in the classroom and to protect both the teachers and the students. Cheryl, what is your final thought for this evening?
This was a very, very good conversation that we had today. And I agree with, you know, a lot of the conversation that went that took place today, that our teachers are definitely underpaid, the conditions are not the best, and that we're going to lose some teachers that can be there, that have been very good teachers, and upcoming ones that could have been very good teachers because of the conditions and the circumstances that the teachers deal with, and especially with the pay.
You're so right. Tyrone, what is your final thought for this evening?
Well, first of all, thank you for tackling such an important subject. I don't hear people talk about this much. And also want to thank the crew that we have, the participants, for, you know, being so highly intelligent. I say to it appears as a bunch of ungodly people making decisions. Keep our children in prayer every day. And also, James, thank you for the music, man. It just reminds me when I was, you know, years back. I mean, it's good to be able to listen. You know, the kind of music we had coming up, we still can listen to that music now and find some kind of enjoyment in it. It's beautiful, and so I appreciate that. I'm just honored to be a part of this. Thank you.
All right, and I appreciate all of you. Know that your support is very important to the show, that you bring to the table something that I could not do alone, so I truly appreciate what you guys, your commitment to being on the show and discussing the different things that we need to discuss. And Kathy, you know, as always, that you keep us grounded, and I appreciate you always being there to make sure that we don't move too far away from the word as it relates to everything that we do each and every day. I want to appreciate those of you who are newcomers, Cheryl and Tyrone. You guys have
brought a different dynamic to the show, and I really appreciate you being here and being a part of the show. And it just makes, you know, as we grow forward, it's going to make things better and better and better, and I really appreciate that. I want to thank all of you. Actually, we got Audrey, do you want to, we got enough time to give you a final thought for this evening as well. Are you there, Audrey?
Yes, I'm here. One of the slogans of UNCF is that a mine is a terrible thing to waste. And, of course, it will be wasted if we don't have the proper educators in place. So surely they should be paid accordingly. So that's my closing thought for today.
Audrey and I go back a long ways, and we used to, of course, tease each other a lot. When it comes to, both of us have gone to predominantly black schools, and we know, I can tell you for a fact, and I'm sure Audrey will agree with me, I owe all that I am to the education that I was exposed to. I don't do enough in terms of giving back to South Carolina State like I should, because all of who I am is a result of public schools. And a lot of times public schools get a beating in regards to what they produce. But we need to be helping these public school teachers and helping the school system, period, in terms of being supportive of what it is that they're trying to do. Our public schools are asked to educate everybody. We don't get to exclude people like private schools. We don't exclude people because they can't pay. We don't exclude them because of their academic performance. You got to understand, when you're a private school and a kid acts up, you can send that kid home for life. The public school doesn't have that option. And so I just want to let everybody know I'm thankful for the education that I received in public schools, and I think we don't support public schools enough. Audrey, anything you want to add to that?
Well, I just feel we don't support schools enough, whether they're public or private, but public schools definitely have a place, and making sure that the average person have an opportunity to learn and gain, that's for sure. And you're right, we should support it. And you need to give back to your your alum. If you're an alumni, you need to support this school.
Yeah, I plan to get better. I have not done as well as I should. So I, you're right. All that I am financially is because of South Carolina State. So I do need to give back to them.
Go Tougaloo.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. We are at the end of another show, and we'll be back tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time. And as always, I just want to thank all of you for your support. Continue to listen in. And we're going to deal with the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. Those of you who want to change your quality of life, I need you to call in to 407-459-4827. Those of you who want to increase your monthly income and change your quality of life, you deserve to call this number, 407-459-4827, and I can guarantee you'll thank me. Take care, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, where we are making sure that your voice is heard loud and clear. Take care, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
So, what do you want to do? I'm here, baby. I'm ready, baby. I'm waiting on you. Believe me, I am patiently waiting. My mind, so I don't
don't we stop all the talking, girl? Why don't we stop wasting time? I've had my share of lovers. Some say I'm damn good. And if you think you can turn me out, maybe I wish that you would. Cause you keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once I'm with you, I'll never go back. You say there's a lesson that you wanna teach. Well, here I am, baby. Practice. Just you and me. So many things I can do to you, and so many ways I can please. Hey, hey, hey. It's your move. Why don't you start turning down the light and show me just what you can do?